Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning. Welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in. We hope that you listen for the duration of the program. It's our purpose to speak only those things found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question or a comment, feel free to contact us at the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. We want to remind you that next week, Sunday through Friday, September 19th through the 24th, the East Abbotville Church of Christ will conduct a series of gospel meetings. Come and be with us, or if it's impossible to come, then remember eastabbotville.org, log on, and at those times you can both see and hear the gospel meeting. In John 19, it's this that we read in verse 38. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. We see that in many respects, secrets are somewhat hard to keep, but it's easier to keep being a disciple secret, maybe more so than other things that we try to keep secret. But the truth of the matter is, Joseph was no worse than many others of that secret gang that we have even today. When we look at this man Joseph, there's not a whole lot that we are able to know about him, but there are some things that we see the Bible makes mention of in reference to him. He was a honorable counselor, and this means that he was a part of the Jewish council, the Jewish Sanhedrin. In Mark chapter 15, verse 43, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went boldly into Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. He was a good and a just man, according to what we read in Luke's account. In Luke 23 and verse 50, it said, "Behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just man." But we find that he did not consent to the crucifixion. It's in verse 51 of Luke 23. It says, "The same had not consented to the counsel and the deed of them." He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. So he did not consent with the rest of the council when Jesus was brought before them to be tried. So we must understand that we can't be saved on what we don't do. And also, as we've read in that verse 51, he waited for the kingdom of God. And yet, from the passage that we read to begin with in our study, John 19 and verse 38, he was a secret disciple. But on this occasion, when after Jesus' death, Joseph went boldly to Pilate and declared himself to be who he was. Again, in Mark 15 and verse 43, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly into Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. But we find that Joseph did what others failed to do, and that was to bury our Lord. Matthew records in Matthew 27 and verse 60 that he laid him in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. So I guess you can say that it's better late than never. And certainly, this is an age-lasting memorial to Joseph. But also, one lesson that we can learn from this is that truly we can hide our light. You know, Christians, after all, are supposed to be the light of the world. Jesus said that in Matthew 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. It's also in Philippians chapter 2 that we read in verse 15 that Paul said that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So truly, as Christians, we are to be the light of the world. We must not hide our light. Jesus went on in Matthew 5 and verse 15 to say that neither do they light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So we see then that we must not hide our light. It's also found in Luke chapter 11 and verse 33, no man, when he has lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. There are two sides to being a Christian. There's that secret side that we can be, like Joseph was up to a certain point in his life, or there can be the open, the manifest side of the world knowing that we are a Christian. There are things that we certainly can do secretly and must do secretly. Jesus talked about the giving of alms, how that is something that needs to be done secretly. He mentioned that in Matthew chapter 6, again, a part of the Sermon on the Mount, when he said in verse 1, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Surely we see that these are some things that we need, and not only to give our charitable deed, but when it comes to praying. In Matthew chapter 6, where we were there talking about charitable deeds, let's look at verse 5. He said that when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to be standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. But then also, there are things that as Christians we need to do openly. We need to stand up for the gospel. That's what Jude tells us in the third verse of that book, that we're to earnestly contend for the faith which was once and for all delivered unto us. So we see then that in all of this, that we need to stand up and openly, boldly proclaim the truth. We need to engage in pure speech. In Ephesians 4, in verse 29, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. In Ephesians 5 and verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. And in Titus 2 and verse 8, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And we need to do openly various works of righteousness. Like Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. James 2 and verse 18 says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And also in 1 Peter chapter 2, We read in verse 18, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So truly, we need to consider one another when it comes to the assembling of ourselves together. In Hebrews 10, verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Truly, we need to be people of kindness, people of extending hospitality, and that's something that certainly ought not to be kept secret. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 4 and verse 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Also, we must understand that we need to love, and this certainly is something that needs to be shown. In 1 John 3, beginning with verse 17, but whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In Proverbs 27 and verse 5, it says, open rebuke is better than secret love. But you know, there are some secrets of secret discipleship. That is, one is cowardice. We see an example of this in John 9 when Jesus healed the man that had been blind from birth. Rather than his parents making it openly known who it was that had healed their son, no, they were cowards. They feared to acknowledge that Jesus was the Christ would put them out of the synagogue. But yet we find in the scriptures that many have had the courage to die. James died in Acts chapter 12. We see others that died at the hands of the Lord. All of the prophets in the Old Testament, the majority, died at the hands of those to whom they had been sent to deliver the message of God. We're told in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, fear not them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hebrews 13 and verse 6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Many who are disciples openly might have been disciples secretly had they lived in Joseph's day. Another secret of a secret disciple is that they're ashamed to acknowledge it. You know, God is not ashamed to be called our God. In Hebrews 11 and verse 16, it says, but now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he's prepared for them a city. Also in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12, Christ is not ashamed to call us brethren. It says, for both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Paul was not ashamed of it. He said in Romans 1 and verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Friends, there's no such thing as making up for lost time. We may regret and receive pardon, but we need to be bold disciples in the world today. That's what Jesus needs, not secret disciples. We see our time is gone. We appreciate so much you listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Under them, we bid you a pleasant good day, and we now return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.